Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, come work for the Lord. The work is hard, the hours are long, and the pay is low. But the retirement benefits are out of this world. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you again today and talking to you again about the Word of God. All of us, during our lifetime, suffer problems that come our way, but the Christian is better able to endure the problems that come because he's a Christian. And so we were talking about the great woman of Shunem who faced a problem in her life, which was a major problem, but she was able to say, it is well. Well, when you and I face problems during life, we should be able to say, it is well. Many times we simply would get ourselves down with the problems that come our way, and we would give the impression that nothing is right because we are just depending on God and He just hasn't worked things out the way we feel they ought to be worked out. Well, friends, a person who trusts in God is able to say, even when the storms are blowing round about them, they're able to say, it is well. The woman of Shunem said it is well because she knew that God cared for her. God was concerned about her. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When we do the right thing, God has promised that He would hear our prayers. Now go back through your Bible and read of people who went to God in prayer, and read of the concern God showed for them and the help that came from God in dealing with the problems that they had from time to time. Great people who trusted in God were able to come through any problem that they faced and to win a victory. Well, that's also true of those who are children of God today. We also noted that we can say it is well with our soul because there's strength that comes from our worship unto God. Do you realize that the Bible teaches the necessity of our coming together, assembling together, for our worship unto God? Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The point of the passage is that we are to assemble. The verse doesn't say, don't forsake the assembly. Sometimes people get the idea that he's merely talking about Sunday morning service. Well, that isn't what he's talking about. The word assembling is a word which indicates they're coming together. Anytime they came together, they were told, don't forsake that assembling, that coming together. But there is strength that comes from that. If you back up one verse, you'll see in verse 24 that he indicates that we are to encourage one another and provoke one another to love and good works. Now, the word provoke sometimes gets the wrong meaning in our mind, and we get the idea that we're supposed to be provoking one another. Well, not in that sense of the word. But if it means to prompt a person to do better and to live a better life, then indeed that's what it's all about. When you feel maybe your lowest as far as life is concerned, and you're able to come to worship, and you see there other Christian people who are your friends and who give you encouragement and help when you're in need of it, you leave that public assembly feeling better because you've been there. Frequently, people will tell me, I didn't feel good when I came this morning, but after the worship period, I go home feeling better. Well, the reason for that is the fact that they are with Christian people and they've had the opportunity of expressing what they feel in their heart to their Father in heaven. I know this much, the things that are done in the public assembly, you might be able to do most of those things in your own home without anybody else being around. You might sing or you might pray. But friends, that doesn't excuse us from the public assembly. God knew we needed each other, and therefore he instructed us to be a part of a public assembly. And so we're not to forsake that assembling, that coming together, like some people do, because as a result of it, we draw strength. The record says with the early church in Acts 2 and verse 46 that the people came together daily, met in the temple daily, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were drawn closer to each other by their coming together, and so they assembled on a regular basis, and they therefore were strengthened in their worship unto God and in their dealing with the problems of life. They were together and therefore gained strength from each other. So no wonder when you read through the book of Acts, you'll read of people who were trying to the best of their ability to draw close to others as well as drawing close to God. We've already looked at Hebrews 10 and verse 22 this week, but the passage says that we draw nigh unto God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The passage just simply indicates our drawing near to God is the important thing, and we do that by having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. The obvious reference is to our being baptized into Christ, receiving remission of sins, and then using our life in serving God. So when you look at that particular thing, you can see the importance of our worship unto God and our service unto Him. You know, the Bible teaches that our worship goes in two directions. Part of it goes upward to our Father in heaven, goes to God. And part of it goes toward other people. Some define it this way. There is worship which is vertical. That is, man worshiping God in heaven. There also is the horizontal worship, which is the worship that I engage in that affects those around about me. Look at how these are put together. Look at Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, we sing and we make melody in our heart to the Lord. And so we teach one another by these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But notice, it's unto the Lord. So we have both elements involved in passages like Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16. We worship God, and we also at the same time teach and admonish one another. What a great thing it is to be able to sit down in the midst of Christian people and to give instruction and receive instruction by the singing of songs of praise to God. Certainly we're helping each other as we sing those songs, but we're also drawing near to our Father in heaven, and we're strengthened through that worship. Our life here upon the earth is made better because we have that privilege. Frequently, someone will leave a public assembly and say, "I'm just glad that I came. I feel so much better." Well, certainly it will react that way. I remember James saying, "Is any merry among you? Let him sing hymns." Well, certainly if we have happiness in our heart toward our Father in heaven, we want to sing songs of praise unto him. we're stronger because of the opportunity of worship unto our Father in heaven. So, sometimes we can say it is well because I have brothers and sisters in Christ who care for me. We appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.